Welcome to the program. This is the only Italiano Twin Peaks recap program. It's called And Twin Peaks.
And Twin Peaks.
Excuse me. Yes, of course. What I meant to say was And Twin Peaks. Ow. We are approaching a precipice. Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
We are at the penultimate, the penis ultimate episode of season two.
Yep. The pen 15 ultimate episode of season two. This,
and in a lot of ways, this is like an episode of pen 15, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a lot like an episode of pen 15.
There are two or more teen girls.
Yeah. Sure.
There are two or more women in their 20s playing teen girls.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's,
there we go.
Things are, I mean, all right, so this is episode 21. We only have one more after this. And I got, like, you know, last week I was, like, starting to get excited. And now I'm, like, excited for the end.
Yeah, me too. It's complicated because I'm like,
I know,
I'm excited to just be done with this season.
Sure,
I because get it. it's put me through a lot of body blows, you know.
Sure, I get it. It seems like everything is heading into a more season one territory, right? That's like last week. This episode, we're going back to the Black Lodge. We're getting into all the sort of mythology stuff. Does that sort of make you feel any better?
Absolutely. That's what's so complicated about it for me is now I'm like, I'm in with my whole heart.
Yeah.
You know, we finally realize what's important, we being the writers.
Mm-hmm.
And we're back. We're back in the pocket, deep in the groove. Purdy shuffle. Purdy shuffling our way to the Black Lodge.
We are. Yeah. And, you know, not for nothing, but next week's episode, the final episode of season two, is directed by David Lynch. So
let's go. Let's go.
You have to imagine it's going to be good.
Yeah. I will say, strobe light climax.
Yeah.
That's a nice touch. And it felt that feels like something you do to like let everyone know.
Yeah.
Dave's on his way.
Yeah. Dave's in the house. All right.
He's back on the premises.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say something I really like about this episode right off the bat. And we were sort of headed this way.
Uh-huh.
But we've fully reframed Wyndham Earle as like kind of a useful idiot. Like he no longer seems like,
yes,
we're not pretending he's an arch villain anymore.
Uh-huh.
Which again, if we could have gotten to this point.
It definitely took too long to get to this point. And this is sort of like what I was talking about when they introduced Wyndham Earle, and he was just like, you know, he was all costumes and goofball shit.
Yeah.
And you're like, how is
he's evil Frasier. Let's say it.
Yeah. He's evil Frasier. We could say it. He's evil Frasier.
Or is that not PC? Can we not say that Wyndham Earle is evil Frasier?
But
I mean that, like, not only is he like a fancy pants, but he's you know, he's like a clown. He's a,
yes,
he's a
very much so
dumb smart guy,
which, I mean, when it's well executed, is one of my favorite kind of guys to watch.
Yes.
Frasier being a dumb smart guy. Give me 75 seasons of that, please.
Look, we're all in agreement. It's well documented that this is a pro Frasier program.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're a couple of toss salads and scrambled eggs ourselves.
Mm. And we'll unpack that in the back half of the show, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a paywall thing.
Unpacking in the back half. That's a nice change. But
no. No, it just the Windham Earl stuff, when he was introduced this time around, right? In my head, I'm like, I remember this like storyline with Windham Earl going like making sense at the end of it, and like, you know, sort of being all worth it, you know, based on the ending of it. But it was, I got to tell you, there were a couple episodes there where I was like, man, I don't know if it was just me and I'm remembering things wrong, but this Windham Earl guy is a real fucking clown.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. It's tricky because clearly they were like, Windham Earl has to be like the Bob or the Who Killed Laura Palmer.
Yeah.
Of, I mean, the season.
Yeah. He's the main antagonist for like 10 episodes.
Right. But it just, he's such
just
a,
doesn't land.
At it all. Just doesn't land. No. They should have just, I think, just held off a little longer. Had it simmering in the background. And it's the problem with this season overall is like everyone's storylines feel totally separated from one another.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, right, the early season one and then early episodes of season two, right? Everybody's completely like, you know, sort of working off of the same story. It's like branching out, but it's all coming from the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, you know, it's very much like we're in sort of open waters here. We're all going in separate directions.
Right. And, right.
You know,
Lucy is very quickly pulling Andy and Dick aside to wrap up. The who will the father be?
It's obviously Andy.
I do like how they resolve this. It's because it's like it's been obviously Andy the entire time, like to the point where, right, I think last episode we were like, I can't believe we're still.
I thought we settled this.
Yeah, that's sort of the theme of the whole season, right? It's like I thought we settled this. Like I don't really know how to explain it. It's almost like they telegraph everything, mm-hmm, up to this point.
Yeah,
and so there is some like, you know, delight in like the turn or like the zooming out and sort of seeing this like bigger mystical picture, sure, or whatever. But yeah, man, the execution is rocky. It's like,
it was definitely rocky. But I think, I really think like last week I thought we were getting back on track, and now we are fully back on the right fucking track.
Yes.
And we are heading towards a conclusion here of sorts.
One hundo.
Which is nice. And you're right, like some of the dumber storylines get wrapped up here.
The amount of time per episode spent on them is more, yeah, you know, better calibrated, I think.
Yeah,
right. Like
appropriately, you know, distribute time the way that it should be.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we could start with Lucy. I mean, so this episode is titled Miss Twin Peaks, right? So this is the actual Miss Twin Peaks contest. We get some really fun stuff early on of what's his name, Mr. Pinkle, right?
Yeah, Squiggy.
Yeah, Squiggy. Mr. Pinkle doing his like Bob Fosse, like yelling at his chorus line of dancing girls, just like, do not ask me any questions.
Yes, do not question the vision of your choreographer.
Yes.
The vision is cleavage. That's the vision.
That's the vision, right?
Trying to look down their damn shirts.
Exactly. And I do kind of find it, I think it's fun that basically all of the women in town are in, you know, everybody that we've met, like minus like Norma, is in the Miss Twin Peaks contest. Yes.
Norma won. She's a previous winner.
Yeah, she's a previous winner. They were like, you can't enter again because you'll win again because you're such a smoke show. But you could be a judge. And she accepts.
It's true. She's like freaking, I mean, I hate to hit you with the sports reference here. She's like freaking Max Scherzer out there pushing 42 and still throwing 90, you know, 95 miles an hour. Fastball sitting at a cool 90, 95, 96.
I mean, I don't know who that is, but you're right. I mean, yeah. She's like, she's got four in her early 40s and she is like
breathtaking.
Yeah, yeah. Like an absolute, you know.
Yeah. She's a dime
goddess.
Piece. You could say it. You could say it.
And then, you know, we have all of the other dime pieces around town as part of our pageant here.
I like that even the women we've never seen before.
Yeah, yeah.
Are also the most beautiful woman you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah. It's consistent, you know. They just make beautiful women in Twin Peaks.
What can you say? What can you really say about it? Also, I will say, what's his name? Pinkle?
Yeah.
I love him. He's maybe got like my favorite sort of presence of anyone in the town where he just like does. It's like it really is like a cartoon where it's just like they take the same like background character and like plop him into different roles as needed, you know? Yep.
He's like some weird like jack of all trades, but he doesn't do anything. He like sold Bobby and Shelley like that fucking contraption to move Leo around.
Yeah, he was a medical equipment salesman.
Yeah, a ferret wrangler. Just like all of these weird. I mean, the guy, you know, you gotta make a living somehow.
That's the most American thing in the world.
Absolutely,
just like bops from job to job, pretending to have more expertise than you really do.
Yeah, just throw enough shit at the wall and see what sticks. You know? So yes, the women are getting ready for the pageant. We get a quick sort of thing between Ben and Audrey in Ben's office where she's sitting there like sort of staring at the fire. She's missing Jack, who. Just the day before, they made sweet love for hours in his plane.
it was parked, we should say.
Mid-flight.
Yeah.
No. That's crazy. That's so dangerous.
Cut to it just doing like loop-de-loops.
Cut to the airplane going into like a train tunnel.
Flying past an oil derrick. Yeah. That sort of thing.
Yeah. She's in there, she's staring at the fire and whatever, and Ben comes in just with like several stacks of books and he's like, right here he has the Bible, the Quran. What else was there? I mean, it was all of the religious sort of texts from, you know, I don't know, 9-10 different religions or whatever. So he's like, you know, in these books, you know, they hold the answers and the knowledge of everything. And I am going to find out, because he wants to be good. That's his whole thing. He's like, I need some religion. Gotta whip some religion into me before I could be good, you know?
And his whole...
need it explained to me.
Yeah, his whole sort of framework for life is like acquisition. He wants a monopoly on the knowledge of...
Yes.
You know, of the human race.
Right. That's how he knows how to do things, right?
He's a businessman. He's gonna buy it all up.
Right.
Yep.
So, you know, she's like, he's sort of in the middle of his tangent thing. And then she, you know, she's visibly like sort of sad. And he's like, ah, Audrey, I'm so sorry. I'm going on about all of this. And you miss Jack, don't you? And she's like, you know, she does miss Jack. And then
I think we all miss Jack. It's fair
to say. I mean, Jack was a beautiful man.
Yeah.
you know, he should have entered. I mean, it's a good thing he wasn't around for the Miss Twin Peaks pageant, because the guy,
they would, you have no choice but to rewrite the bylaws of the competition. Right.
Well, there's nothing in the rule books that can't, you know, that says that Billy Zane can't enter.
Specifically Billy Zane.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like this. I like the idea of an Air Bud, but with Billy Zane.
Just, or even Billy Zane specific.
Well, he's much taller than the other children. I don't know. I don't know if he can hoop.
Yeah.
But it's sort of beside the point. He's got a good 2 feet on all of them.
I love the Air Bud excuse. Well, there's nothing in the rule books. That's such a funny way to just have the most contrived sort of, what if the dog played basketball? Anyway.
And thank God he did.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, they made, that was another, I mean, what, they make 25 of those Air Bud movies?
Yeah, because there's, of course, Air Bud, Golden Receiver, and the rest. But then also, aren't the Buddies movies?
Yeah.
The technically puppies, the, right? Yeah,
definitely.
Like, even, and we're onto like Ghost Buddies now, where they all die. They go to the spirit realm.
No, that can't be true, Dan. That's Rob, too scary.
It is true. It is completely true. Ghost Buddies and Twin Peaks.
The crossover everybody's been clamoring for.
Oh, maybe it, no, I'm sorry. I owe an apology to our listeners. I really fucked up.
What happened?
It's called Spooky Buddies.
Well, that's different.
Yeah.
Are they actual ghosts, or are they just wearing sheets like ghosts?
I want to say they like go through a mirror and die and become spirits. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's too scary.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Paige explained this movie to me once. She, to be clear, was nannying for a while. Okay. And,
she's like, all right, sit down. I want you to watch my favorite movie of all time. It's Spooky Buddies.
How have we never watched this?
Wait, you've never seen Spooky Buddies? Ah, we're watching it tonight.
Oh, my God. Is that what that tattoo is? Oh, God.
You know, she's upset. Jack's gone. And basically, Ben is like, you know, you should enter the Miss Twin Peaks pageant and, you know, be the face of you know, environmentalism and all this. And she's like, there is nothing in the world I want to do less than enter that pageant. And he's like, please do it for me. and she does.
He can't help it, man.
I know.
He can't help but scratch someone's back with the expectation of having his own back scratched in return.
It's true. Ben, he's, you know, he hasn't read all of those books yet. Mm. You know, he hasn't gotten through them. Maybe when he reads everything, he'll actually be a different man.
Yeah, he's. Where in the Bible does it talk about quid pro quo? What a short straw for Audrey. All he gives her too is like, time heals all wounds.
Yeah, I mean, it's real cliched bullshit. Yeah.
Which may end up being true. I don't know. Time is not what it seems.
It's true. That's true.
It's something.
So, elsewhere, right? Nadine is showing a slideshow of all of her wrestling.
All the men she's hurt.
Yeah.
All the men she's hurt physically.
Yeah. The men that she's bested physically in the wrestling ring, on the mats. And it's really, I mean, you know, she's there with Mike and Dr. Jacoby is there, and Big Ed and Norma, and everybody's watching the slides or whatever, and they're like, okay, that's good. So, one of the, you know, they're explaining, like, they're trying to explain to Norma, or not Norma, I'm sorry, Nadine, that, you know, they're going to be breaking up. And Nadine's like, you know, I'm just worried about Eddie. Like, he, I just don't want him to, you know, do anything.
She's like, I just worry he's going to be so sad. And then he explains that, in fact, he and Norma are going to be getting married.
Yes, he says that him and Norma are going to get married. And she, Nadine is like, I'm so happy for you. And then she is crushing Mike's hand. What it seems like breaks his hand.
Yes. Yeah, he screams like a man who's just had his hand broken, for sure.
Pretty funny.
Yeah.
What else? Let's see. We get all this stuff with Andrew and Pete and Catherine where they're trying to open that metal box, and Andrew gets fed up. They're trying to crack it open with a vise. That doesn't work. So Andrew pulls out his gun that he, I guess, keeps on him at all times. He keeps that thing on him at all times. And I love this. I mean, he fires off three shots, and then when the camera like shows it, there are three bullet holes in the cabinets.
Yeah. but at least one of them was a ricochet, because there is a, because the box is exploded.
The box is exploded, and Catherine, you know, reaches inside, and there's a key. And she says, "Where there's a key, there's a lock." Yeah.
And no. Who knows that better than us, right?
I mean,
right, three seasons.
We're kind of experts on locks and keys and whatnot.
May angels lead you in.
Yeah.
I watched that the other day just for
lock.
Lock. If I never see Kevin Durand from Three again.
I know. The unfortunate thing is, you know, Elon Musk looks so much like Kevin Durant.
I know. The unfortunate thing about Elon Musk is that he reminds me of Kevin Durant.
So there's a key, and they're like, oh, well, we better keep this in a safe place where, you know, nobody trusts anybody, I guess.
Yeah, the way they say it, they're like, we better keep this in plain sight. Just right. Like, yeah, you.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So they put it under the lid of the cake dish.
Yes. So that'll come up maybe next episode, right?
Well, you got to figure, right?
You have to assume. I think that's kind of, oh, and then, you know, Norma sort of convinces Annie to enter in the pageant, right? And we do get that scene where Cooper, you know, he starts talking into his tape recorder to Diane after meditating, which I just realized that watching this, I'm like, oh shit, he hasn't really talked to Diane in quite some time here.
It's true. It's true. He hasn't.
And that sort of, just him like talking into the microphone, I felt like this sort of wave of comfort, like, ah, we're getting back to, you know, what made this show good. And this is like, we're reaching back.
Yes, we are recalibrated. We're doing it right. Yeah. Diane, is this, well, how long has Cooper been back on the force, back on the job? It's been kind of a while, right?
Maybe a week.
Yeah, like seven episodes.
Maybe, probably less.
Really. Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
it is surprising
that Gordon, you know, basically fell in love with Shelley. So that was like probably like five or six episodes ago.
Was it already? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah.
So, no. Yes. So Cooper is talking to Diane, you know, and there's a knock at the door, and it's Annie. And she's like, oh, I entered this pageant, and now I don't, you know, I have to give a speech on, you know, whatever, like saving the trees, and I don't know what to talk about. And I need help and you have to help me. And he's like, you're scared of public speaking. And she's like, I am terrified of it. So she starts talking about the trees and they start sort of bouncing ideas off of each other. And then I think Cooper says, I don't want to talk about trees anymore. Mm. And they start making out.
Yeah.
And
notably, she does say something like every forest has its shadow or something.
Yeah. I mean, like all of like she's talking about like the trees and the forest and whatever. But and like, you know, what it takes for a tree to grow and all of these things. And they're all like, is it a metaphor or analogy? I'm not exactly sure. But for her and like sort of Cooper's relationship, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, Cooper comes over, they start making out. And then the camera does the camera turns away because they make sweet love.
Yes, and we are on network television, I'll remind you.
Yeah, we can.
When they show her like sort of things. When they show her like gigantic bra, I was like, ah, yes, we are.
I thought it was like a slip or something. It was.
Oh, maybe it was
an actual bra.
Maybe it was. Yeah.
Because I thought the same thing at first. I was like, that goes from like her neck down past her waist. That's the biggest bra ever.
You're right.
That bra is a turtleneck. What is it?
This is the real Antwians segment of
the show. Antwians. So yes, they consummate their relationship. Hell yeah.
He puts his disease in her. There's no other way to say it.
Yeah. I mean, right. There's no other way to say it.
Baby God. Wants to fuck.
God, I wish there was. I wish there was.
Yeah, he did put his disease in her.
Let's stop saying it. So we're
disease in me.
Jeez.
That's a pretty good Isabella Rossellini.
Thank you.
Rob. You're low-key the impressions expert. You're kind of the Mel Blanc of the podcast.
I could do 1 second impressions of anybody. What do you got?
Let's hear
Isabella Rossellini. He put his disease in me.
Pretty good. That's your Josie too, let's say.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Josie has sort of an unusual accent. I don't know. It's not like Chinese, right? Even she, but it's. I don't know.
I'm shrugging. I don't know. All right. Let's get the cat in here.
She's like, she's tapping my leg. She's like, pick me up. I must be on camera.
Well, here's
I'm camera ready.
Here's an impression I'd love to hear you do.
Yeah.
Is Briggs after he's been recovered. Also, another King Me correction.
Yeah.
We said sodium pentothal. It's not. It's the other one. Did you notice that too?
Yes, it is the other one.
It's a barbitol or something.
Yeah. Got to get my hands on some barbitol.
Yeah, right.
Just be telling the truth.
For once, practice radical honesty in a
radical honesty.
In a barbiturate induced stupor.
Are you wasted? Yes.
Yes.
Ask me something else.
Yes.
So, that's the other thing is this episode opens with Leo and Major Briggs being tied up in the cabin. And Leo, he reaches as far as he can. And then he gets the key to unshackle Major Briggs.
Hmm.
So Briggs is able to escape. And then, when Windham Earl comes back, he's got a big old paper bag and he's like, I have a new game for us to play, Leo. And
the
he
game
says
is
Leo, like
spiders on your head.
Yeah.
That's the name of the game.
It's right.
Protect your head.
Yeah. Protect your neck. Respect my neck. All of these things.
The length of the twine is really funny when they show the contraption.
Yeah, I mean, so right. I mean, with Leo, all of that stuff. So, well, first, Windermere says, like, you've actually been a wonderful companion. You know, somebody to listen to me and you know, assist me in all of these things.
This is a sick man.
He's a sick, sick man.
Sick fuck. Pardon my language, but this fuck.
You fuck.
You fuck. Also, I do like when Merle bursts in and his face is painted white and we don't know why yet. That also feels like season one stuff where it's like you get this weird detail.
Yes.
You don't know why yet.
Right. It's the David Lynch thing of like, why is it like that?
And right.
You know.
But that's like
an explanation. Maybe you have to like sort of get there yourself. But yeah.
And that's sort of, I mean, the show at its best, that's what it's doing is it's like giving you a vantage point and then zooming out a little bit, right?
Definitely.
From week to week, we zoom out.
So
and sometimes it's the Civil War.
Windermere, he sets up this like pulley contraption with like a piece of twine in that Leo has to hold in his mouth between his teeth. And there's a basket full of like tarantulas above his head. So if he, you know, lets it fall, they're going to fall on his head and I don't know, there'll be tarantulas about.
And that would be gross.
Yeah. And that's too gross. And then Major Briggs, right? He goes like, he is like completely fucked up on his barbiturates, but he is like with it enough to like make it out to the road through the woods. And Deputy Hawk picks him up. And I think now is a good time for a break.
Yeah, let's head over to the station.
Yeah, now it's dark.
Well, nope, wrong.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. We'll take a little break and you want to join us over at we should call it the Green Lodge because it costs money. Is that too cynical?
So I like it. I think that's funny.
It was funny. We're the Patreon. We're going to do the second hand. We're going to take a break, reconvene over at the Green Lodge.
Right.
And we will discuss Major Briggs's deposition.
Yep,
his debrief.
Major Briggs. We're going to be talking about Cooper. We're going to tell you who wins the Miss Twin Peaks pageant. What else? Fucking petroglyphs.
Petroglyphs.
Heard of them?
And we'll finally solve the mystery of why Windham Earl had white face makeup on.
That's right.
Why he's doing white face.
Why he's doing white face. Yeah. Patreon.com/KingMePod. Sign up, you get the first week free. After that, it's $5. And, you know, we like to, you know, we have a bunch of fun stuff going on over there. So check it out. All right. Taking a break. Be right back.